cliffcentral.com.
Welcome back to Wedding Central with myself, Kylie de Villiers.
And myself, Ntombi Ntlafo.
And today we're talking unusual venues and city venues. And we've got in studio today, we've got Annie from Turbine Hall.
Hello.
One of my favorite venues to work at in the city. You've also worked at Turbine Hall.
Yes, right? I have. Annie, why don't you tell us a little bit about Turbine Hall?
Okay, well, Turbine Hall is, although city centre, is in Newtown, which is the arts and cultural district,
right,
as we like to be known. Turbine Hall was one of Joburg's first power stations and is now a heritage building. So a lot of the original features are still there, which makes it something very, very special.
Right.
The venue is pretty industrial chic, so you can do whatever you like. It's a blank canvas for that. And it can be very romantic space because of the contrast, especially for weddings.
Right.
And Simon, we've got Simon from Level 3 Premier Venue. Welcome, Simon.
How are you doing?
Good.
Thanks for having me.
Tell us a little bit about the venue. How long has it been around?
We're about to go through our second birthday or anniversary at the moment.
Really?
So we opened up and launched in October of 2014.
Oh, awesome.
Okay.
Two years now.
Okay.
And we're situated in Cromwell, which is sort of just east of Sandton Central. Mm-hmm. It's also in a sort of design trendy little hub.
Because there's a lot of little venues popping up in that area. I mean, you've got Katie's Palace.
There's a couple. There's Katie's Palace. I think there's the Sheds there. There's a
Urban
couple
Tree,
of different Urban Tree.
Right.
Yeah, so it seems to be a little bit of a hub for new up-and-coming venues.
Okay. Well, I'm working there this weekend, and we're very excited about it because the client it lends itself to a client who's maybe got a church, and they don't necessarily want to have the ceremony on site. Have you ever had weddings where the ceremony is on site?
Yeah, some of the non-traditional weddings that we have had the ceremonies on site and then moved straight into the sort of reception afterwards, which is very, very cool as well, depending obviously on the client.
So. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So what kind of clients do your venues attract?
Well, they come in all sorts of shapes and sizes, I think.
Yeah,
you know?
Definitely.
I think what both of our venues kind of lend themselves to is the unique sort of wedding venue, you know.
Right.
It's not your, for lack of a better word, your garden variety, wedding venue. So, you know, both spaces kind of allow themselves to, or the client rather, to come in and do whatever they like and obviously put their dreams into fruition.
Okay. When you say kind of do whatever they like, what particularly, and I know usually like the garden aspect is not the focus, obviously at your, you know, at Turbine Hall as well as Level 3, the garden is not the focus and water features and that kind of thing. But what particularly is different in terms of structure? When you say to me, I can do whatever I want there, what does that mean? Am I walking into like a warehouse kind of thing? What, Annie, maybe you can start with Turbine Hall. What is particularly different about Turbine Hall versus going to, you know, Wedding Central, which is like Maldives Drift side?
Yeah, well, if you go to Wedding Central, the odds are that one of your besties has already got married there. Yeah.
Right.
So you're likely to find that your guests know everything about it and start comparing. So, Lebo had this and Sarah had that.
Yes.
So what we find is we don't do an awful lot of weddings. When we do, our staff are excited as well.
Right.
So we all get involved in trying to create what the bride has in mind.
Mm.
It isn't a venue that has a particular color scheme or wild hotel carpets or anything like that.
Wild. So, I like that description.
Yeah, those nice green and red ones.
Right.
And your bright one's pink. And you're like, oh God, how am I going to incorporate that?
How are we going to do this with the paisley carpet?
Yes. Right.
So it's a blank canvas.
Mm.
And I think that because it's natural concrete walls, really high exposed ceilings, it means that the vision that the bride has is the focus of the room.
100%. Yeah, you can focus more on the details. And Simon, what's particularly different? Like, I know, like you're saying, Turbine Hall has those beautiful exposed ceilings, super, super high ceilings as well, and the concrete walls. Tell us what's particularly unique about Level 3.
You know what? When we were looking for a venue to obviously, you know, bring up for our events and obviously weddings going forward as well, we were looking for something different. You know, not the wedding bend that you find out in Maldives Drift.
It's not
the mountains in Franschhoek, et cetera, et cetera. But what we do have is, again, the high ceilings, the blank canvas for people to come and do kind of whatever theme or, you know, whatever they're looking for to do there.
And the sunsets.
And the sunsets. So, oh, you know, what's particularly great about our venue, obviously, is the almost 180-degree views that we have of the Sandton skyline as well as the Joburg skyline. So, you know, stunning. Towards the evening and sundown times of the day, it gets beautiful up there.
Mm. Yeah.
Do you find it's harder to sell? And I don't know if any of either of you have history in, like, traditional wedding venues, but do you find that it's harder to sell the concept of Turbine Hall and Level 3 to your clients versus if they
as a couple? I'm sure like you said, corporates love it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. But brides, the couples,
because they have a
particular
picture. They can't see.
I think basically, obviously, from, you know, traditionally people like to go for that entire sort of garden environment. What it does is it takes, I think, a braver couple. For lack of a better word, obviously.
Or a creative couple.
To foresee something that's going to be sort of more urban industrial or more modern industrial. Which a lot of couples are actually taking the leap of faith with us, and I'm sure with Turbine Hall as well, and going that way. It's, you know, similar to the wedding we've got on this weekend, as you said.
Oh, they're so excited, and it's the view and the sunset. Everything is planned around this damn sunset. Right. They better not be in the shower. Oh my gosh.
Please God, don't let it rain.
I've got the hookup, don't worry. I'll place the order.
What would you say is like a disadvantage of either of your venues?
Or maybe something that
you don't
want
to tell us your disadvantage.
But perhaps maybe something that your clients always bring up and say, but there's not this, or whatever the case is. What do you find is a common concern perhaps from your clients?
I think we could double all of our venues in size and we'd be well in.
Yeah.
Because very often people will come, we can seat 350 for a sit-down banquet.
Right.
You know, a lot of traditional weddings, they'll say, well, we've got 600 or expecting 450.
Yeah. We struggle to get that. I mean, I've got a client that wants 400 guests and we're struggling to find an available venue for 400 guests.
Yeah, people are forced to then do marquees and that kind of thing because it just isn't capacity.
Yeah, really. I suppose the biggest problem with that is for a venue as well is that when you don't have the, you know, the big numbers weddings, is that what do you do with the size of the space?
This is the issue.
You know, to try and creatively make it more personal and intimate.
Yeah, and intimate, because it can easily get lost. Like, your place for 400 for 100 guests can easily get lost.
Yeah.
But in terms of Turbine Hall particularly, do you find, like, I found a lot of clients are concerned about perhaps safety around the area because town has such almost like a bad rep.
Stigma.
Yeah, it does have like a bad rep. Do you find that safety is a concern, and how would you say to your clients that isn't really a major issue?
I would say that probably 3 to 4 years ago, it was a concern for everybody who stepped over the threshold.
Yeah.
What do we do? Where do we park? How do we walk? How do we, where should we go? Which is the best route? You know, all that kind of thing. But now it's much less so.
Yeah.
Because of the likes of Newtown Junction, the big mall that's been built there.
Yeah.
There's other venues in and around Newtown. And not for the least is that we host the annual Turbine Art Fair. And we have 8,000 people through the building on a weekend.
I love the feeling.
I mean, I've once had a wedding where, obviously, as a female run business, we don't really like to do the nighttime breakdown because it's a safety thing.
Yes.
But we've done it before at Turbine because we had another wedding the next day, and we had to turn our staff around and everything. And I must be honest, I stood there in the car park and I thought, oh my God, here I am in the middle of Joburg CBD, and I actually feel
very safe.
Yeah. It was phenomenal to actually experience that. I'm here, I'm like, oh wow.
Yeah.
And
it's actually, you know, I had a client who got married at Turbine last year, December. It was actually on the day that they were striking on the Nelson Mandela Bridge. But even with the strike action and everything, all of my guests got there without any issues. Nobody got hurt or anything like that. But also there's a particular vibe about urban, you know, being in the city, being in an urban environment, there's a particular vibe. I find even the guests that attend those particular weddings are more funky, more fun, like really down for a particular groove. It is a certain type of people that can really enjoy urban venues versus the, you know, Wedding Central.
And do you find that clients getting married at your venue tend to spend a lot more on the bar? you want them to spend more. Hey?
You know,
the idea.
I think so. We've certainly found that people who are looking to, you know, spend in the areas that are sort of more relevant to the actual wedding and providing the enjoyment for their guests on the night. Yeah. You know, it comes down to the music, the bar.
Yeah. It must be a big challenge for the both venues to, when most of your business is coming from corporates, to actually now have to get in to the head of a couple.
Mm.
Because corporates are,
that's
have
why
they've
we
got
have people like you.
I know, I know.
That's what you thought, Kelly.
I know. But you know, it's a difficult thing that we experience is because you know, the corporates have their budgets and that's it, you know. Whereas a bride and a groom, it's coming out of their individual pockets. So, you know, they are watching every penny, and that must be quite a challenge for you as venues to try and understand that, especially when you're dedicated generally to a corporate environment.
Absolutely. It's obviously up to the venues and people like yourself as well to obviously take people's dreams and what they're looking for on that special day, and obviously try and, you know, package it into a budget that helps everybody.
It must be very true. I mean, if I had to go into corporates, I think we'd be a lot richer.
I don't know if we'd be less stressed at all. But I think, yeah, definitely like richer.
Constantly, you definitely wouldn't be less stressed.
Exactly. Stress is the same. But I wanted to find out, do you find that, you know, because the psychology of brides and couples is different compared to that of corporates, what do you do as venues to make it easier for a couple to work in your venue? So maybe perhaps not what, you know, rules or whatever that you apply to corporates. Is there anything different that that you apply for couples who are working within your venues?
Look, the rules, I think, with the venues kind of stay the same, you know, whether it's a corporate or a wedding or a birthday party or whatever it might be. But I think, especially in terms of these emotional days, it's best to be a little bit more sensitive towards the client's needs and wants when it comes to that.
It's crazy.
And obviously try and accommodate them as much as possible, obviously within the, you know, within the boundaries of what you're allowed to do.
Right.
I think you also plan it a lot further in advance. Generally.
100%.
So you've met the bride and groom, mom-in-law, sister, bridesmaids, cousins. You've met
entire
everybody.
And sometimes you can't wait to see them, never see them again. Hey?
Yeah.
But you have that many more meetings with them. So you get a lot more detail. Whereas with corporates, you'll often have a PCO who likes to keep some secrets to themselves.
So
that they can announce them on the day and you get on with it.
Right.
Correct. Sure. So they've saved the day. Whereas I think with wedding coordinators and the venue, we work together to make sure the bride gets 100%. What she's planned.
100%. And then can you bring in your own caterer, or like do you offer the catering for clients? What do you, I think we're working with two different styles of venues, huh?
Yeah.
Sure. So in our particular case, we do have a range of, I think, 3 accredited caterers at this stage, all very viable caterers and, you know, very well-known.
You have to, because it's how they leave your kitchen.
But that's not to say that you can't bring in your own caterer if, for whatever reason, there is somebody that you want to bring in. We are obviously open to that. Obviously, we need to make sure the procedures are in place beforehand.
Yeah. I mean, you know, like with Summer Place, I mean, their biggest thing for having a preferred supplier list for caterers is the fact that it's how their kitchen gets left, and it's the cleanliness and all of that. So I can completely understand where you're coming from.
Well, that's exactly it. It's the logistics of getting in and out, making sure that the kitchen's left in the, you know, the same way that it is when they found it, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah. But it's not only that, you know, my career started at venues, and one of the venues I worked at, it was, you know, people could bring in their own catering, and it very quickly stopped where we started getting preferred caterers. Simply because it's your name that goes out there. You know, when your guests come to the wedding, they don't ask who the caterer is. They say it's Turbine Hall, or they say it's Level 3. They don't necessarily go to the... So if something goes wrong with the food, then, you know, it's your brand now that now carries the name of the
catering. Absolutely.
The
venue's culpable for most of this.
Right.
And Turbine, you've got your own catering.
We strongly believe that it's our name on... the food.
Right.
And one of the main elements of the wedding is not just the four walls.
Yeah.
So it's the food is one of our flagships, and we have an internationally award-winning team.
Yeah, because your food is damn delicious.
It's amazing.
Because you've got the 3 venues, so it's the Forum Group, Turbine, the Campus. At the Campus, do they also have...
Yes.
Okay, so you provide all
we
the
We cater in
like
all
of
our venues.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. No, that's awesome. In terms of preferred suppliers, and this is such a sticky issue, I think...
We're always upset people on this.
It's always a sticky issue, I think, within the suppliers, in terms of why preferred suppliers are in place and how come certain rules apply to certain suppliers. Do you find that your preferred suppliers enjoy particular benefits? Maybe they get to set up earlier or break down later, or perhaps they have access to storerooms or whatever the case is. why do you have preferred suppliers list? Let's talk first off from a supplier's point of view. Why preferred suppliers list instead of a client finding their own people? I'll start with you, Annie.
Well, there's one part that we do allow the client to bring in their own suppliers.
Do you? Okay.
We do. Okay. We do have a preferred suppliers list because for a lot of people, and particularly with weddings, it's the first time they've done this.
Right.
So they don't know who and where they can get
stuff
decor
from.
Or AV or in fact what AV is and how it works and the technical side of things. So we have preferred suppliers lists because there are people that we can also
rely on, and
put our stamp on.
Trustworthy.
Yeah.
Correct. Yeah.
And do you charge them a commission or that's quite a hard question.
Yeah. Well, generally with weddings, we put them in touch with the suppliers.
So, we would charge them a commission to be on that.
No. Okay. So that they know we're not the middleman because you know, a lot can be lost in translation.
Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oi, you could talk to me about that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. And then with level three, what is your take on preferred suppliers list?
So we're similar. So we know when we send out a fact sheet to a client who's looking at the venue, there's obviously a list of people in various sort of elements. So the decor, the furniture, the caterers, et cetera, et cetera. And we then put them directly in touch with those particular suppliers. Again, it's the people that have worked there before.
Yeah, that you know their quality.
Correct. Yes. Also, in our events business as well that we've been working with for a very long time. So we know them. We know their work. It's very, very trustworthy. Mm. And also, we count on them. So.
Right.
Tell us a little bit, because you've got another company. So tell us a little bit about that company.
Correct. So Blackjack Events has
That's how you started.
It has. Myself and my two business partners who are from school days.
I know Davey's quite crazy.
He is a little bit crazy, yeah.
Like he's not here.
Dave's very crazy. We started from school days, and we... You know, that the company started Blackjack Events. We wanted to do everybody's 21st birthday parties because Blackjack.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Right? That slowly faded away when we realized everybody had already turned 21. But we stuck with the name. And we started off as predominantly a staffing company. Then slowly it evolved, obviously, into doing bars. We then started doing a bit of furniture.
It's amazing how we all evolve so much in our business.
Yeah. You know, it demands it.
Absolutely. And then, you know, that business was registered 2004, so we close to 12 years now.
Wow. Awesome.
And that, and then again, you know, we've been looking a long time for a venue and the right space.
I'm actually so surprised it's been going for 2 years. It feels
like a lot longer.
The venue level three. I thought it was only about a year old.
No, you know, October we launched 2014.
Sure.
You know.
Okay.
Yeah. And then just back to preferred suppliers, is there particular benefits that your preferred suppliers? Now I'm asking, perhaps as a supplier, I'm trying to make my client's life easier. Maybe there is a certain benefit that I get when working at the venue. Perhaps it's time, perhaps it's, you know, I don't know what. But is there a benefit at either of the venues from being on the preferred suppliers list versus not?
So all of our suppliers who do come into the venue, whether they're preferred or outside suppliers, you know, are afforded the same benefits.
Right.
You know, what may be different is that if, for instance, we've done a function the day before or the night before, you know, that supplier, for instance, let's say it's the AV guy, he might not have to come in again and do an entire new setup because his gear is already there,
et
cetera, et cetera. You know, and it could be the same for some decor suppliers and some furniture suppliers as well. Otherwise, most suppliers have to fit in with the, you know, the general rules and regulations and schedule that we provide them with.
And I think in terms of the urban venues that we're talking about that you've got, I know for a fact, I mean, I love Turbine Hall, but oh my God, it's hectic. It's logistically, it's big setups.
Yes.
Especially if we're doing the ceremony in the glass area at the top, and then you're moving stuff and you're up and down. I don't know what it is, but you are that much more tired at an urban venue as opposed to a traditional wedding venue.
When you drive your backy onto the grass.
I know. And
or straight into the main hall.
Like you literally like at the door and you can put
I am dreading this weekend. I'm like, shit, I'm going to make sure I put my step count on and I'm going to go up and down those stairs. What, three flights, eh?
Three flights of stairs, yeah.
Fabulous. I'm going to...
Definitely a workout. Definitely a workout. In terms of advising, let's say, your couples, What do you think is the best piece of advice you could give a couple who does not have a planner, you know, first time around, knows nothing about nothing? What would be your best piece of advice in terms of venue choosing? We can start with you, Simon.
For venue choosing. Well, look, I suppose it depends on the couple themselves, but I would advise people to step out of the usual garden variety weddings. Mm. I'm going to keep on using that word.
Yeah, there's no other word.
It's the
really.
Best one I could come up with at such short notice. But try something different. Parties and weddings and events in general are all really about the same thing, and it's bringing people together, especially at weddings.
And the experience.
Exactly. Yeah. And putting together everything and packaging it for a client is it all happens generally in much the same way. It's just that if you're going to step out of your comfort zone and have it somewhere different.
Yeah,
100%. I must agree with you. I do find that your urban venues, the party is livelier. The experience is more appreciated than... I feel a lot of detail gets lost at the, And I mean, the venues are beautiful, but I do feel like detail gets lost. And I feel like people are already expecting certain things, so they don't take into consideration anything that's happening.
And it's the driving as well. I think a lot of people, when they know they're going to a venue close by or close in the city, then they'll get in an Uber and then off they go.
And then when it's all done, you've only got not so far to go.
It's not so expensive. I mean, 100%. You think about it in Mulder's Drift, when you request an Uber or something, it takes forever
to get there.
To get there, 100%. And the cost as well involved.
Yeah, I always say the further away the venue is, the more expensive it becomes for your guests, because now they need to consider accommodation and there's a whole lot of other things. Annie, what would your piece of advice be?
I think it's... people have to tell you what their priorities are. Yeah. So if the priority is the dress or the booze or the party or the food, or that will help them decide on a venue.
Right.
So it's often... Pinterest has changed our wedding world. And
I don't know
somebody
whether
comes with a mood board.
Thank you, Pinterest.
Or not.
I think you can tell from somebody's wedding board as to where they want to be. But if, like you say, you've got a vibey couple who are ready to celebrate, then we fit the mark.
100%. Do you think it's harder to plan at an urban venue versus the typical venues? Do you think, would you advise your clients to maybe look into a planner or whatever? And I mean, I know you have venue coordinators who are great at what they do, but I'm talking about the actual planning beforehand.
Yeah.
Do you think it's harder at an urban venue?
I definitely.
Holly's just about stood up there.
We should refer to Kelly on this one.
Yeah.
It's definitely not harder in an urban venue. Mm. I think it depends on the venue itself and who
is helping,
whether they're going to assist you and be there.
Mm.
However, I definitely think they should have a wedding coordinator wherever you're getting married, urban or garden.
Just on the day, I think that's a big thing for on the day. I think when it comes to, especially when they're, like you think about it, both venues, you're sitting where they can't really, there's not really anywhere that they can get ready.
Correct.
And they forget, I need to organize a room. I need to, the actual time that it takes to get from the place that they're getting married.
Scheduling.
Or where they're getting ready, to the venue, to the, how they're going to get between the church and the venue and all of that, So it's just the logistics around that. I think you definitely need an on-the-day coordinator.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm. Particularly, as you say, if they're not getting married at having the ceremony at
on
the
site.
Venue.
Yeah. Yeah.
Because if we can take it from feeding and drinking people.
Right.
But you don't do the physical flower and decor setups and all of that.
And this is what I always say to clients, that people think that like planners are like against venues, or like we're trying to work independently from or whatever. It's a team effort. Like, we could never do it without the venue's help and the venue's support or whatever the case is. But I agree with what Annie's saying in terms of detailing, even the planning up beforehand, to have an expert with you at particular meetings to advise you and say, I think this is going to work better for what you are looking for and what you are prioritizing. Your scheduling on the day, like Cardi's saying, we look down to which route route is best, which route is quicker for you to move from there to here, and are we going to convoy, and how are we going to lead the, you know, all of that stuff people just don't consider.
And drinks between the ceremony while they're having photos.
Yeah.
Correct. Like they're thirsty, they want a drink.
I'm perhaps like, even like bud course packs, you know, if it's like that far away or whatever the case is. But Simon, what's your opinion?
I agree 100%. Mm. I think, you know, there's a lot of different differences between sort of normal events or day-to-day events as opposed to weddings. Mm. There's a lot of things that are a little bit more personal.
Mm. And I think very emotional.
And it's very emotional. especially dealing with brides and mothers of a bride, etc.
Oh my gosh, you have no idea.
And having said that, I think that wedding specialists and venues, you know, should be working together all the time, because we obviously want those wedding specialists to be bringing you know, the clients back to our venue as well.
And I mean,
make it as easy as possible for them to come.
Yeah, I know that client that came in this morning. They're looking for a venue and they don't want to go out into the Mulderstrift Mile, and they want to have an urban venue. I did recommend Turbine Hall, but they were a bit scared of the city. So I was like, okay, let's try this and that.
It's a stigma.
You know, so we also try where we can to advise and in where to go.
100%.
Because we want to work at these interesting venues. We do get bored of
the traditionals. Like, oh my God. You know, all clients are practically, everyone's doing Blush Pink in the Garden now. You know? When somebody says to me, urban, I'm like, thank you, Jesus, my new best friend. Let's work together.
Do you guys do weddings? Yes. Do you have a garden? No.
No. Fabulous.
But we have a view.
Waterfalls? Yeah, 100%. When do you think is the best time for somebody to book their venue? Like now they've, you know, I got engaged this past weekend. What do you think in terms of time frames? When should they be booking their venues?
Well, I think the benefit with venues like ours is that they are predominantly corporate bookings. Yeah. So you are not going to go somewhere a year and a half before and they tell you the dates that they've got available.
Yes, yes.
A lot of our bookings are at most 6 months in advance,
really?
Unless they are multi-day convex type things.
Right.
So you are more likely to get a weekend date in a venue like ours because we don't do a lot of them.
Because the corporates are Monday to Friday. Correct. And that's what I always say. Like, you know, with the African clients, we're always like short notice. So the minute I get them, like, I'm like, okay, we're going to look city side. We're bound to find something. Simon?
Yeah. Premium and corporate days are on your Thursdays and Friday nights, sometimes Wednesdays. Mm. Hardly any of them are doing things on Saturdays.
Oh, really?
So that's not to say that they aren't, but hardly any of them.
Hardly.
I'm sure it starts to get busy now with year end functions and things like that now, huh?
Absolutely. Yeah. The corporate's always late with booking though, so you know they tend to come in at the last minute or
so. Ideally, you want more weddings
when
so
somebody
that
signs
a year in advance.
Yeah. I suppose it also depends on the time of the year that you want your wedding as well. So if you're going to have it in January or February, there's obviously a lot more date range available to you than there is from October to December.
Yeah, I was going to ask, do you find that because you do deal with corporates, do you guys have like the seasonal thing where winter is a bit slower than, or do you find that you're kind of constant?
Well, we were actually just discussing it earlier. It's been a strange year because traditionally, you know, we're busier during our silly season, which is October, November, December, and generally a little bit quieter during the beginning of the and also during winter as well. But this year seems to have gone the other way.
Oh, really?
So, so we've been busier in the months that we traditionally haven't been in and
quieter.
So on and so forth,
100%. What are, hidden costs, not hidden costs, or costs that maybe aren't spoken about a lot when booking venues? Like, what do you find your clients are mostly surprised by when they get their quotation? And they're like, oh, I thought this was maybe included in the venue hire or whatever. What do you find are common surprises, perhaps?
We tell people what's included in the venue hire, but I would say one of the biggest things is the bar bill. So you may put in a provision for a bar at a certain amount, but people forget how much a drink costs. They think, well, I've put 40,000 down, that'll last us all night, and it doesn't.
It doesn't go very far. Yeah, it doesn't go very far. Simon?
Yes, the bar bill just definitely at the end. You know, post function, so they've got the final account in the bar.
And also, they're very like, oh, just let it go on the night because all the booze is inside. And it's like,
Make sure you sign. I would say the booze bill. And then obviously, when people are looking to, you know, book a venue, they ask you, you know, what the venue hire price is. Mm. And then they say to you, well, what's included with that? So then, you know, we've got very comprehensive fact sheets and lists of what does actually come
what's
on the day.
What's included and what's excluded.
And then what doesn't. So we try and you know, make it very clear what is included and what is excluded.
And I think that's very it's with the two, you're sitting with two different venues in Toowoomba, like Level 3 doesn't do the catering. So when it comes and your Turbine Hall's doing the catering, then the waiters and all of that come into play. But now when you're not doing the catering, you're looking at extra costs on waiters and all of that. Furniture and whatever else. So it's just, you've really got to do, as a bride or as a couple, you really got to do your research.
And I think, like Simon's saying, we will have a list of what is included and what's not.
Right.
And a lot of venues will tell you what's included, but not what's not.
100%.
So if I had advice for a bride, it would be find out what's not.
100%. Yeah. And I always say, I don't know why venues try to con people, because I always have, you know, a client that's frustrated and they say, you know, they didn't say, and now they're saying that it's not included or whatever. And I'm just like, I just wish everyone was, you know, as honest as the two of you. In terms of open bar, right? I've got 100 guests that I have at my wedding or whatever the case is. What do you recommend realistically? Perhaps I want my clients to pay for their spirits and like your Red Bulls and stuff, but everything else I'm happy to foot the bill for. What is a realistic cost per guest attending for an open bar, do you think?
Well, we kind of offer three different versions of a bar. So the one is just having a beer, wine and soft drinks bar available. The second is obviously having a full local bar, which is spirits, and then the third one is a full premium bar, which involves Johnny Black as opposed to Bell's and Jameson's, you know, as opposed to something else. So what we do is on a full local bar, which just includes your local beer, wine, soft drinks, and spirits as well, we advise on about R150 a head, which is usually the worst
when you
case
go out
scenario.
I mean, you spend more than R150 a head when you go. So that's not actually quite.
But I think, as we discussed earlier, you know, you can kind of also get a good idea from the clients, you know, in the meetings leading up to the actual wedding as well. And, you know, we had one the other day that said, do you want to put a tab on the bar? Is there anything that's going to be bought for cash at the bar, shooters, anything like that? I don't want anyone to be able to pull out their wallets the entire evening.
Sure. Right.
So for that, in that instance, we had to stick the, you know, the kind of limit up,
or right,
the estimate rather, at about R200 a head to obviously incorporate everything.
Sure.
So that they don't get a big surprise at the end of the night.
100%. I always say, you know, I always say to my my clients, your guests are probably going to be their thirstiest on arrival. And then as the night goes on, it's going to slow down a little bit. But I always say average about a drink and a half per hour per person.
And for weddings, they're there for many hours.
Many. It's not like 10 hours.
Do you know, I don't. Sometimes when we're just doing flowers and decor and we do the setup and then we go home and then if we have to clear that night, I actually sit there and we like watch TV, we have a movie, we do this, we do that. And I think, geez, these guests
still
are working.
They're still there.
It's a long, long
it's a
time.
Very long day. And, you know, sometimes you have to help people out. And
correct.
More than you should.
It also depends on, I suppose, the type of brands that you're going to have there. Like if you want something on arrival, like a fancy champagne or an MCC, or something like that. Everything starts adding up.
100%. 100%. 100%.
It was so lovely. We're out of time. I'm just looking at the time. We've actually gone over a little bit. It was a fabulous interview. But thank you so much. The reason why I brought you in is because you are one of my two favorite city venues.
Yay.
So thank you so much for having us. Thank you so much for coming in. And I'm looking forward to working at the venue this
thank
weekend.
Thank you for having us. And thank you to your listeners as well.
Fabulous. Can our listeners find you guys on social media? Where can they see Level 3, for example?
Absolutely. The easiest way is obviously to go straight to our website. It's www.level3.co.za, and that's the word, not the letters.
Okay.
Or you can get hold of us, our wedding coordinator at the venue.
Okay.
Or the venue coordinator, rather, is Jessica, and that's 011-463-1899.
And I'm going to post lots of photos this weekend.
And tell us about Turbine Hall. Where can they find pictures of Turbine Hall, etc.?
The easiest, again, is the website. All the W's, theforumcompany.co.uk.
Okay.
If you put in Turbine Hall into Google, you'll come up with plenty of things that tell you where to go and who to speak to.
Fabulous. Thanks so much for joining us. Keep up with the conversation with Wedding Central on social media. Find us on Facebook and Instagram, as well as Twitter, @WeddingCentral_SA. Thanks so much. CliffCentral.com.